Open in your Bibles, if you would, Book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 139, verses 23 and 24. This is our third week. Of course, we've had things kind of jamming us up. We've got a couple more weeks to go on this message of a searching God. I've said it every week. I've said it just about every time I've talked about this message. I believe that there's an air of the prophetic in this message, other than just normal preaching, because preaching should be covered with the prophetic. But this is even greater than that. I believe that this is an on-time word for this church. Yes, for the kingdom of God, but for this church. If we don't take it to heart, we are going to miss something special that God has for us. You as an individual, the church as a whole. Three times that I know of, we have been right on the verge of seeing something absolutely tremendous. We've let little things distract us. I don't want to do that this time. And I believe that we are right on the precipice. Seriously. I used to take pens apart, ink pens, and play with the spring. Didn't take a whole lot to interest me or to thrill me or to hold my attention. My attention was real shallow. But every once in a while, that spring would get loose. When you compress a spring and then it comes out the side, it usually goes doing. And it goes real fast for a distance. We are like a spring that's compressed. We are ready to plow. And that excites me. Some things have to take place first. That's why this message is so important. So Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. And we read, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead in the way everlasting." We are very good and adept at pointing out flaws in other people. Some of us major in that. You have to be around the church for a little while to believe that one. But But then there's times when it becomes very personal. It's at those times that God walks into a church or a situation or a group of people, and he brings with him surprises. Any time that the Lord walks into your midst, there's going to be a surprise. When God surprises us, normally it's with his wonderful, powerful presence. You can feel the peace. You can sense the joy. There's that feeling that everything's okay because the Lord is here. But with that comes a holy expectancy. I love it when I hear people praying or conversing, and there's an expectancy that's about them, inside of them. No matter what it's about. When the Spirit of God starts moving, the expectation level rises. I believe with all of my heart that when God begins to move, truly move in a church. Now, if nothing is happening and God's not moving, then services are just, oh, well, humdrum. The singing was good, yeah, okay. But when God is involved and he's really moving, there's that joyous expectation. There's that almost chomping at the bits, like a racehorse being put in the slot, and at any moment that door's going to fly open and they're going to tear down the track. I love those moments. That moment just before the bell rings and the gates fly open and the horses take off. If you've never been around that, that's one of the most exciting moments in sports. More exciting than a kickoff. Kickoff. That's okay. First pitch. No. When those gates, it's kind of like, gentlemen, start your engines, and all of a sudden, it sends cold chills down my spine because I'm a race car addict. I like horses, not to ride, no. When it comes to riding, I'm sorry. Horses aren't worth very much to me. Of course, I've been thrown 3 times, been stomped on, bit, kicked, abused by those bottles of glue that have 4 legs. I was mean. I did that on purpose. I really don't feel that way, but yeah, that is true. I do. I worked at a horse farm for a long time, where there was probably 3-4 dozen horses, and we boarded horses, and we trained horses, and we rented horses, and We hated horses. But I still love the races. And we had a lot of quarter horses. And they didn't use the gates. They had a elastic cord that went across the track. And usually there was 2, 3, 4, 5 horses. And they'd be right up against that. And suddenly they would blow a whistle or something and let that elastic cord loose. And those quarter horses would take off in a straight line. They didn't go in a circle. They went in a straight line. We had the Florida champion at our stables. Our people trained him. He was the best there was. He went to Texas and just tore them up. We loved it. But it all starts in that moment. We are, as a church, in that moment. We're right up against the wire. We're right up against the gates. We're waiting on God to open it. And that's coming soon. But I believe that those kind of moments will not happen in the lives of his people or his church until we become his servants and we lay down our lives before him and allow him to search our hearts so that he knows our ways, but that we know our ways. That's where we're at this morning. The first step that has to take place is point number one that's already there. It's exposing. God will expose. When the Holy Spirit starts exposing sin, a new intensity becomes a part of our services, a part of our walk. It will be impossible for a church or a person to have any kind of lasting, tremendous move of God in their life. We also call that revival. It will be impossible to have that in our own lives until the lives of the individual or the church begin to deal with the root problem, which is called sin. We began to take sin lightly. We've begun to not worry about it so much. That's not good. I believe that's why we are in the state that we're in. And I'm talking about our country. When anything goes. A few years ago, you didn't hear some of the language openly that you hear today. A few years ago, you didn't see the corruption that we see openly and blatant today. A few years ago, you didn't see the troubles that we see today. And I believe it's because we've let down the standard. We quit caring about some things. If we want to see God once again move in our hearts, in our lives, in our country, then we better get serious and let him begin to do some exposing. And anytime God shines his light in our life, it's going to expose something. Those who are willing to have their hearts examined, in other words, examine their own hearts, and they're willing to become teachable and receive that fresh move of God. I've seen it time and time again. As we do that, then God starts using us in ways that will literally blow your mind. The Holy Spirit has a way of shining that gentle but piercing light in the darkness of our lives. And the moment he does, you'll start crying out to him. And that has to start first. So that brings us to point two, where we got to last week. And I'm going to go through this one real quick, because we didn't cover it last week. Point two is exploring. In Psalms 139, and I've added a few things to it, just a couple of words of explanation. What David is saying and what David is laying before God, he says, search me. What he's asking is, God, please examine me thoroughly. Now, how many of you know that God is thorough? If you're a little confused about that, just think about your own body, the mind, the heart, the circulatory system, the nervous system. God is very thorough. When he creates everything perfectly. In the animal kingdom, the same way. So God is a very thorough God. David is saying, search me thoroughly, oh God, and know. That word know, it means to recognize, observe with instruction, even to the point of punishment if necessary. Say, no, Pastor, I don't mind if God corrects me, but I don't want any punishment. David says, I'm willing, God, if what it takes is that correction. Those who the Lord loves, he corrects or chastens, then do it if needed. Search my heart, O God. In other words, he's saying, try me, prove me. Put me to the test. Allow me to face trials so that my thoughts are known. So that my inner man, those things that are hidden from everybody else, will be exposed. See if there's any wicked way in me, anything idolatrous, anything that takes place, and anything that I put above you in my life. Lead me in the way everlasting. Carry me all the way down to the vanishing point. So that when life ceases to exist, I will eternally be with you. That's what he's saying here in these verses. I read an illustration on this. And I want to share that illustration. The illustration's about a Navy phrase, a nautical phrase, the right of search. There's territorial waters that surround the United States. Any ship, any boat that comes within those territorial waters, the Navy has a right to search. They will board you and they will search. And they will search as thoroughly as they want to. The right of search is the right that's claimed by one nation to authorize the commanders of their ships to enter any vessel regardless of the nation of origin. If it's in our territorial waters, what will they do? The first thing they'll do is examine the papers. They want to know about the cargo. They want to see the cargo to determine the character of the vessel that they've just boarded. They want to know the destination of that cargo. If a foreign vessel floats into U.S. territorial waters, the Navy has a right to pull up alongside and to say, "We're boarding you. Get your papers out." If necessary, they will do a personal search whether or not the ship would be allowed to continue. Every one of us sitting in this building right now are like the ships. We're floating in the Lord's waters. We're in His territory, whether you know it or not. The Holy Spirit is pulling up alongside of us and saying, "I'm coming aboard." In the process, He is inherently asking to search our hearts, to search our lives, the hulls of our ship. He wants to know our destination. He wants to know our intentions. He wants to know about us. Hear me and hear me good. God is not in the business of playing games. If we want Jesus to truly work in our lives, then we're going to have to yield to Him. We must yield to Him. We must give Him complete lordship. Do we understand that? Too many of us just want a Savior. We want to get out of trouble. We don't want a Lord that's going to guide us and direct us and correct us. So we accept Jesus as Savior, but not Lord. But the Bible says no man calls Him Lord except by the Spirit. People all the time say to me, "I want God to work in my life. I want God to work in my family." Are you sure? Really? Are you willing for God to have total control over your life, over your family? Are you truly, really willing for Him to be in charge of your life and your family? Are you willing for Him to search you, even when it means that you're going to have to surrender some of those hidden things that are deep down inside in the recesses of your heart that you don't want anybody to know about? The hatred that's there, the anger that's there, the sins that you've committed. When you looked at that which you shouldn't look at, when you took that which didn't belong to you, when you went to the place that you should not go, and you knew. And all of that gets exposed when you said the things that you shouldn't have said. Are you willing that God put His finger on those? You say, "Well, no, I don't think so." Then He's not going to be Lord of your life. And he's not going to be able to move freely into your life. Am I willing? And I have to ask myself the question. And I've asked myself this question many times. Am I willing to let him shine a light into every area of my life? Often, we nod our heads, but our heart says no. No. We don't really want God to touch those secret areas. We want to do what we want to do when we want to do it and how we want to do it. And we'll give God his time and we'll do our thing over here. Too many Christians are once a week Christians. Now I know this isn't popular, but whether you like it or not, this is the truth. Too many of us are not willing for God to go wherever he wants in our life. We want to direct him where he can and cannot go and what he can do and he can't do. We want to reserve some things that are ours. Why? Because it's too uncomfortable. We really don't want God in those secret areas. There's pain that's there. Can I tell you something? There's no secrets with God. Does he know everything? Yes. Is there anything he does not know? No. He knows your thoughts even before you do. He knows the direction of your life. There are no secrets from him. Jesus saw the pain of a man who lay begging at the edge of healing waters in John chapter 5. And Jesus walks over to him and says, excuse me, buddy. Lewis interpretation, not King James. Do you want to be healed? Now, that's a silly question, isn't it? On the surface, that doesn't make sense. Why would you ask that, Lord? I'm here by the healing waters. I've been coming here for so long, I can't even remember when I started. But every time those waters are troubled, somebody beats me in it. I crawl that away. I try to get there, and it's just not working. And Jesus said, do you want to be healed? What he was doing was going down into the very depths of the man's situation. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7 declares this truth. The Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart. And Jesus was digging in his heart. Leonard Ravenhill says, do you really want to be like Jesus? And I'm quoting him. Do you really want to be like Jesus? Do you want to spend 40 days in fasting and prayer? Do you want a Gethsemane where you are under such stress that you sweat great drops of blood? Do you want a Judas in your life? Do you want a doubting Thomas following you around? Do you want a friend who spends 3 years with you only to curse you out and insist that he's never known you? Do you want God to totally dissolve your social life? These probing questions, they begin to shine a new light on Christian discipleship. Do I really want to be his disciple? Do I really want to do his bidding? Do I really want to walk with him? Do I really want Jesus to be Lord of my life? We got to boil it down to that place. Because if we really don't want it, guess what? You're not going to have it. But it's not until we get desperate. It's not until we desire it like we desire the next breath. Just hold your breath for the next 3 minutes and see how bad you want to breathe. That's how bad we have to want him to be Lord of our life. As the deer pants after the water brook, so my heart pants after you, O God. That's where we're at. That's where we've come to this morning. That's the first 2 points of this message. That exploring, that exposing. The Holy Spirit's going to do it. And we will not have a true, lasting move of God, revival within our church. I'm talking about something that lasts more than an hour. Something that lasts more than one day. I want something that's going to last months and years. Not just a short period of time. And if we're going to have that, then he's going to search us. He's going to know us and he's going to show us ourselves. And that's a scary thing sometimes. And that would bring us to the third point. And no, I'm not going to go into it. I know what time it is. The third point, if you just want to make a little note, is examining. After the exposing, after the exploring, comes that time of examining. Close examination. When those Navy men go on a ship, whether it be the Coast Guard or the U.S. Navy, if necessary, they'll open every container on that ship. They'll go further than that. They've taken cars apart. They've cut open furniture. And they found drugs and all kind of contraband hidden. They expose it. The Holy Spirit, he will search your heart. He will examine you thoroughly. He must. He must. Bow your heads for just a moment, would you? Father, this is not necessarily the way that I intended to break this message up. Lord, I trust you in all things. I'm asking that you would move through this congregation of people. And Lord, would you put your finger in our heart? And if there's anybody that's here today, Lord, that are not where they should be, they're not doing what they should be doing, and they know it, would you just gently shine your light into their spirit, man? And God, would your Holy Spirit just pull them toward yourself? I'm asking you, Lord, to begin a great and mighty work in this church and in this people. Search us, O God. Know our heart. See if there's any wicked way that's in us. Do what you have to do, Lord.